The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to the Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. And today we're going to be discussing health and wellness for the college community and beyond. We have two great guests with us. They are Dr. Yakira Teitel, who's the new Director of Health Services at Bard College. Prior to joining Bard, she provided primary care and adolescent health care through the San Francisco Department of Public Health, and she trained in family and community medicine at San Francisco General Hospital. We also have Malia Dumont, who's Chief of Staff and Vice President for Strategy and Policy at Bard, where she studied as an undergraduate. She also holds a Master's in Public Policy from Harvard's Kennedy School. She serves on the Board of the World Affairs Council Mid-Hudson Valley, is a Commissioner at LiveWell Kingston, and she's a veteran and Army Reserve officer. So Yakira and Malia, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Thank you so much.
It's nice to have you. So if you would, can you start by providing our listeners with an overview of what resources are available on the Bard campus for students?
Yeah, I think it's best to let Yakira start with that one, and I'll fill in any blanks.
And I have to start with the caveat that, as you said in your very nice introduction, I am the new director of health services. So there are certainly details that I am just learning myself. But we do have a full health service center here at Bard College, where students can come for episodic care for a wide variety of issues. And we also have a very robust counseling program that is co-located with our health services. And then there are a host of other programs that are student-directed or student-run. And those include our wellness programs, such as we have a peer health program where students are doing a lot of health education and outreach for each other. And then there is actually a student-run EMT service. And there is a student, I think there's a faculty director, but student primarily run emergency crisis response service as well, called Brave. So those are some of the health and mental health resources that we have available for students on campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll just add to that. Yakira's covered all the sort of traditional medical resources that are available to students on campus. And one thing that we like to emphasize is that a lot of this is student run, as she pointed out. And so part of what we try to emphasize and inculcate with our students is this real sense of self-care, but also taking care of each other and creating a community where we're watching out for each other and learning how to support each other. So really happy about that. But also taking a broader view of health, we have, we're in a beautiful setting and we're lucky that we have several farms on campus. And so part of our approach to health is having this awareness that it's very connected into the place that we live. So right behind the health service, it's just a coincidental location, but right behind the health service, we have the Bard College Farm, which is over 10 acres of vegetables that are cultivated by Bard students, and it produces about 40,000 pounds of vegetables per year that go directly into our dining hall. So that's part of our approach to health as well, is making sure that we're eating healthy food, and also that students have a chance to be involved in the cultivation of what they're actually eating in the dining facility.
The next question I want to ask is one of particular interest to me, because I have a high school senior and we're now going, touring colleges, and she'll be off to college next year. And so I'm just curious about, from your perspective, what are the health challenges and maybe behavioral health challenges that young people face when being away from home for the first time. That can be a daunting experience, especially if you come from a relatively small school, maybe in a semi-rural community like many are in Ulster County, and all of a sudden you're, you know, away from home for the first time, maybe.
It's a great question, and you kind of got at some of what I think is the most common, which is just really the going off to college. You know, we have students at Bard who come from all over the world. So that sense of being out in the world on your own, the dislocation and social isolation that can come, just loneliness, really, which we don't think about as necessarily a health issue, but I think that studies have shown that it is actually very intimately tied to people's well-being, as being connected to social fabric and networks that they can rely on. So loneliness is certainly a big issue, and one that we are pretty aware of at the health center and the counseling center. And it's part of why we have open hours for students to drop into counseling and establish with counselors on a daily basis. And also, I think why things like the robust club and student group scenes at Bard that I'm just starting to get to know are so crucial, because, you know, I think for all of us, not just college students, having ways to contribute to community can really help with that sense of belonging and purpose. And then, you know, additionally, there's always in college, not just in a pandemic, but there are always infectious diseases. You're talking about a lot of people often living in close quarters with each other. I'm sure we'll delve into that a bit more later. And sexual and reproductive health are really important for many people, learning how to take care of themselves and stay healthy around, you know, substances. Is a big part of the college learning experience as well. So those are just some of the things that I think we see pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, substance use, abuse or use is a fact, unfortunately, a fact of life at many college campuses. You know, young people experiencing, you know, freedom for the first time, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, you know, there are many, many temptations. Mm-hmm. I think we've all kind of seen that, but you know, that social isolation and loneliness is also very big. I mean, that has been recognized now by the larger public health community and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation as one of the significant contributing factors to individual and community health and wellness. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm so happy that you're paying a lot of attention to that. And that's really wonderful.
Yeah, I think some of the research into loneliness has focused more on the elderly, with, you know, understandably. But so a lot of people don't realize it can also affect young people. And it might seem strange at first to think, oh, you're going to this congregate living situation. You're going to be living in a big dorm with many, many other students. But that doesn't mean that you don't experience some kind of isolation at some point. So mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with you, Kira, that the role of student clubs and social organizations, it's been shown that it can help with student success, especially with students who are coming from more underrepresented backgrounds. Like academically, it helps them to find a peer group. But in terms of their mental health, it also is really important to find that peer group as well. So at the beginning of the semester, we try to help people connect. We have a club day and we have a lot of various ways we try to make sure that students are connecting, not just to the health resources that are available, but to all these different social resources that can support their mental health.
One of the things that struck me when I was reading through the notes here was that your approach goes beyond just the campus community to the larger community. Can you touch on that a bit, please?
Yeah, I'll start by saying that you know, we're very cognizant of the fact that we at Bard were the one of the largest employers in the area. So it's not just about a bunch of students in the woods together, which is mm-hmm. how I think a lot of people who aren't very familiar with Bard think of it. I mean, we have over 1,000 employees, and a lot of the employees live in most of them live in the surrounding community. You know, I live in Kingston, along with, you know, a very large percentage of my colleagues. And so we are this interface between the students who live on campus and then the outside community. And we also have a pretty large proportion of students who live off campus. Several hundred of them live mainly in Tivoli and Red Hook, but some of them live in Kingston here as well, especially our graduate students. So it's short-sighted, and we know it doesn't make sense to think of student health or campus health as only limited to the campus, because right. The people who are on campus are very active in the local community. So we want to make sure that we're connecting appropriately and we're representing well. The pandemic really gave us, in a positive way, if we're looking at silver linings, gave us an opportunity to connect with local officials in new and more effective ways.
Bard students really in so many areas, you know, because we work with a lot of different community organizations. You see them with, you know, prison education programs and working mm-hmm. with youth and all manner of really interesting and important activities. And I'm sure our listeners want to hear a lot more about this, but first we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health. Advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. And today we're talking about health and wellness for the college community and beyond. And ladies, before the break, we were talking about the services that are available to students in the Bard community and interactions with the community in a larger context. Can you talk to us a little bit about how, you know, mental health issues and behavioral health issues, any physical health issues, were front and center even before the pandemic hit, but then when COVID hit, it kind of exacerbated everything. We've seen it here in Ulster County. From your perspective, how has that affected the Bard community? What are you seeing on the ground?
Well, I'll, since UCARE is new and doesn't have a sort of basis for comparison, I'll go first. So I think we saw during the pandemic, we saw an amazing sense of coming together among our students and our community. And they really complied with all the recommendations and supported each other. And I thought it was really unfortunate that a lot of national media outlets, especially the New York Times, over and over was referring to college and university campuses as sort of incubators of plague, basically. They had nothing positive to say. And our experience was exactly the opposite. And we heard that from local officials as well. So we brought students back after we were forced to shut down, like all colleges and universities in New York. We had to send everyone home in March 2020. But we brought our students back just a couple months later, that August. We were one of the first colleges in the state to do that. And I think there was a lot of nervousness in the community about what it would mean to bring back this large group of students in the middle of a pandemic. And then over the ensuing months, we saw a real shift in the community's view of Bard students, because they were being so good about masking. They were being so careful about social distancing. We didn't have a single COVID case on our entire campus until late November, not one case. And that's just a testament to how much our community pulled together to support what was needed. And the local, the surrounding community noticed that. And I think it changed views of what college students can do and sort of their attitudes towards their responsibilities. This is not a group of irresponsible young people who are just, you know, out to have a good time. I mean, these are people who are trying to learn to take an important place in the world. And that place starts while they're still students.
Yeah, almost part of the educational experience itself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, I wouldn't have chosen this educational experience for any of us, but, you know, we made it through.
Yes. So when students returned, were there difficulties in, I'm thinking it was probably across the board, but did students experience difficulties reintegrating back into the in-person experience after, you know, in terms of socialization and whatnot, after being isolated? What did you see?
I didn't see that as much. There are different layers of trying to get through this experience, right? And I think we were more focused on survival. And because at that point, the state of New York had very stringent requirements for colleges and universities, and we had to put every single one of our students through a 2-week, you know, isolated quarantine by themselves in a room. That's how they started their college year. And it was really tough. And so trying to provide social support, it was very tough. So we just had to prioritize, you know, what are the priorities? The priorities are to get everyone here safely and keep them healthy and have as much of an in-person experience as possible. And the social stuff had to, just because of the regulations, New York State wouldn't allow us to gather in groups over a certain size. So we had to find different ways to connect socially. We had a lot of Zoom get-togethers, and thank God we have this beautiful, huge campus. We did a lot of outdoor stuff. So that really helped. But because we are so focused on survival, I think we're just now seeing some of the implications of people starting to get over what that weird isolation was. So there wasn't time in the moment to sort of deal with it. But now I think we're, like, people are trying to get over the socialization difficulties.
Do you think there was a bright side, though, to the, you know, whenever there's a crisis, it tends to bring people closer together, you know, like we're all going through this together and therefore it makes us stronger together. I think that's
I love that you bring that up, and Malia, that you mentioned that as well. One of my favorite books is a book by Rebecca Solnit called Paradise Built in Hell. And it's about how community does come together in the wake of major disasters. And I've been thinking about it a lot with the pandemic, because I think there are, like, so many examples of community really pulling together and recognizing each other's strengths in different ways because of the kind of collective trauma of the pandemic. And I wasn't at Bard when, you know, in the early days of the pandemic, I was in San Francisco working for the Department of Public Health there, very much saw it there. And like Malia mentioned, I think it clearly happened here. I have been in this area for the past year, and I will say I got to see some of the kind of downstream effects of that just in the organizing that happened in Red Hook and Tivoli, which is the part of, I live in Dutchess County. But just, I feel like there has been a strengthening of some of those social safety nets and mutual aid projects that people have, that kind of sprung up organically in the wake of this big disruption on all of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know in Ulster County, the community came together in a big way. I mean, standing up, you know, food systems, you know, delivering 30 meals a day to 3,000 a week, you know, and practically overnight, with restaurants involved and volunteers. And I mean, Ulster County has always had a strong base of, you know, engaged citizens, but it was just mind blowing how the community came together. It was just made me really proud to be a resident of Ulster County.
Mm-hmm. So actually, there's a couple of students started a food pantry at Bard, and really have been looking out for each other. And I think, you know, when I first heard about that, I never had really thought about food insecurity on this campus. But when you think about it, like we talked about the isolation, it's in a remote setting. A lot of students don't have cars. And it is actually an issue that students face. And it's that kind of like innovative, brilliant, fresh eyes point of view that I think is exciting somewhere like BARD that, from what I've seen, seems to really kind of get behind these student initiatives and help kind of foster that spirit of helping each other out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that spirit, I think we took a decision pretty early on that we weren't, despite the very stringent rules, you know, we could have gone in a direction of being like super enforcers and having really, really strict rules. And we had to comply with what the New York State required. But instead of turning into a police state, we were very conscious about trying to be very supportive of each other. And so instead of bringing on more security guards to wander around and tell people, you know, put your mask over your mouth and nose correctly, we instead created something called a CARES team. And it's and volunteer faculty, staff, and students joined that. And the philosophy of the CARES team was people who are not complying with the rules probably don't understand them. And so we need to take an educational approach. And so the CARES team would meet with people who were not following the rules and would explain to them very carefully, you know, why this is so important. And so there was a big educational component to this, and there was a lot of student involvement in that. And just that general approach of taking care of each other and assuming that people are trying to do the right thing. And if they're not doing the right thing, it's because they don't understand.
Yeah, that's a great approach.
The right thing is, that was really helpful because I didn't want to turn into a police person.
Yeah.
That's not the right approach for us to be.
You know, BARD is such a great resource in so many ways, from, you know, academics to research to community engagement. From your perspective, from a health and wellness, you know, both physical and behavioral, what do you see, what does BARD or what can BARD do in order to offer more to the community, or what is it already doing?
I think there are a lot of ways that we are supporting the local community. We have a number of what are called engaged liberal arts and science classes that are taught in the community. So for example, we have a biology course that's an engaged liberal arts and science, and they do water testing here in Kingston, testing, you know, water quality, and they provide that data to the city. We also do air quality monitoring and provide that data to the city. So that's ways that students are learning science that's related to health, but we're also providing the results of that to the local community. And then there are a number of ways that students create projects they're interested in. We support them in creating projects that are in the community. Some of those are less directly related. They support mental health. Like, we have a lot of students interested in dance and arts and crafts, and that engaging in those activities supports mental health. And students do that a lot in the community, teaching mm-hmm. local young children. You know, supporting local nonprofits. So I think there's a pretty broad spectrum of things that are happening. But our Center for Civic Engagement is looking for additional ways they can be involved in the community and support that student engagement. So we have a new director of community partnerships in the Center for Civic Engagement. And I know we are, we're always open to ideas from the community. We don't want to come in and say, this is what BARD College thinks needs to happen. And
also, yeah. We want really, your input here. Here's our plan.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to support what the community needs and wants. And so I think we're in conversation with a lot of different groups about that.
Well, I have to say, we are very, very fortunate to have BARD College as part of our greater Ulster County community. I mean, it's really invaluable. And we so appreciate all the work that you and your colleagues and your students do on our behalf. And that's about all the time we have for today. It's great, great subject, and we'll have to have you back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Thank you, and see you next week.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.